Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
When I was thinking about what to speak upon and what Pastor Paul has been talking about, it's always been a bit of a tagline about this they did and then Jesus, which came from the feeding of the 5,000, about how the disciples just went about and they got hold of the lunch from the little boy, but then that is a step of faith in itself. But then as Jesus instructed them of what they do, of what to do next, and to seat the people down, it said, and then Jesus, and he gave thanks, and it fed more than, you know, for the 5 loaves and 2 fish, it fed 5,000 people. And so it's been really great to walk into that place of faith, if you like, as a church, individually, that as we go and do, then Jesus will. And who knows that faith is, we need to be active to see that our faith be sown into this place. I'm glad Alex knows about that, so he's the only one put his hand up. But praise God. Yeah, we need to be active. We need to be going. You know, it's not about just sitting down. It's not just about coming on a Sunday. But worship is a lifestyle. Worship isn't just praise is part of our worship. Giving is part of our worship. Our whole lifestyle is worship to Jesus and to God. And so to step out and to take the good news that we've already received is tremendous, because it's such a privilege to be able to go and tell others about the love of Christ. So this morning is one of the passages that Pastor Paul looked upon a few weeks ago. Was in Psalm 63, and I'd like you to turn there at the moment, please. Psalm 63. How many of you used to play hide and seek as kids? You might still do it now, actually, I don't know. Hide and seek, yeah. I think we've all done that, haven't we? And those with children are probably doing it still now with their parents. Well, who knows that God doesn't want to have people that hide from him, but he wants seekers. Let's have a look at Psalm 63, and it says, O God, you are my God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Sorry. O God, you are my God. What does it say? Earnestly I seek you. Ah, right. It's not just seeking God. We've got to seek him earnestly. Wow. So why is he talking about wanting to seek him? Well, what's David writing here that he's saying we need to seek God earnestly? The word earnestly. Let's have a quick look. Earnestly we seek him. Oh, thank you, Jesus, yeah. You know, there's something about earnestly that's seriousness. There's a deep sincerity. There's something about seeking with everything that we have. It's like being, just trying to find my place here. Yeah, seriously, truly, sincerely. There's something about earnestly as we seek him. It's with everything within us that we need to really commit to God to seek him. And why? Because God realizes there's probably things within the world and with our surroundings that causes us to take our eyes off him. So it's more than just seeking. It's more than just walking about, because there's things that come into our lives in whatever way or form that take our vision, if you like, our focus off Jesus and of God. And that's where we need to be focused. Because when we go through trials in life, in whatever way that might be, whether it's through sickness, illness, whether it's through lack of finances, whatever it is, whether it's through abuse or whatever we've gone through in our lives, when we start to focus upon the one who can help us and the one who has sent his son Jesus to come and take our place upon the cross, the one that is able to lift us up and dust us off, the one who's able to say, I want to give you everything. That's why we need to earnestly seek him. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We can hear the water today. But out there, really, in the world, it's a dry and weary land. But who knows that we go out with the living water? We need to dwell upon the well of salvation. We need to dwell upon the well of life. And as we focus and as we earnestly seek Him and dwell upon those things of God, the rivers of life that come down from heaven, that flow through us, it says out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water, that we're the hope for the dry land. We're the ones that are taking the life into the dry land. But we can only do that by earnestly seeking Him, by earnestly coming before Him, by earnestly taking our time out in our prayer closet, by earnestly coming into the Scriptures, by honestly hearing what God is saying to us. And as we do that, then we're refreshed. And we're the answer to the dry and parched lands. And it's not just a mental thing. As we start to read this psalm, it talks about the whole body. It talks about our soul. It's about mind, body and soul. Who knows that before we come into Christ, our spirit man is dead. It's just lying dormant. And so what controls us then is our own thinking and our own will and emotions of what we do. But then when we ask Jesus into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes in and fills our spirit man. And then it's God doesn't take away our choices, but what He does do is through the Holy Spirit within us, He starts to lead us and guide us and encourage us to make the right choices. So that my will is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And it says we do that and start to focus. I mean, I don't know how many years it is before you came to Christ Jesus yourselves, if you have done this morning. For me, it was probably 30 years before I asked Jesus Christ into my life. Although I was surrounded with my mum and dad that took me to Sunday school and church as a young lad. And then I joined the Air Force, which, okay, was a different lifestyle altogether. But that didn't stop my mum praying for me each week, probably each day, for salvation. And so it's 30 years old. I remember going home to... I used to go home at weekends from the Air Force. And I'd go along to the church with my mum and my dad. And it's probably just to please them, really. But maybe there was a hunger within inside me that I didn't realise that. Maybe I wanted something more in life. And it was like living a Jekyll and Hyde type lifestyle, that the lifestyle at home was different to the lifestyle I had in the Air Force. I won't go into details there. You can, well, yeah, we won't go into any details there. And I remember saying to my mum, she says, "Oh, it's great, Brian, to see you come along to church." And I remember sitting there one afternoon on a Sunday before I went back to the base. I said to my mum, I said, "Mum, don't be fooled by a facade, what you see. Because inside, my lifestyle is completely different of what I'm doing when I'm away from home." And she said, "That's all right, Brian." She says, I don't mind what you're doing when you're away from home. But she says, "Know this." She says, "I'm praying for you every day, as were the rest of your brothers and sisters." And so I joined the Air Force at 16. And it wasn't until I was 30 years old that I asked Jesus Christ into my life. And that was when I was out in Germany. I was out in RAF Germany. And there's a strange circumstance that brought me to that place of earnestly wanting to seek God for myself. Because my parents had been going through a rough patch where they were going to really a separation or a divorce was going to take place. And when that happens within your own family, you probably think, well, it never happened to my family. And so it was, prior to me going out to Germany, I was serving in Northern Ireland at the time. And I remember getting this news from my mum of things my dad had been up to, and that now there's this time of just this separation between them, although they were both living in the same house. And I wanted to go home and smack me with dad, the one in the face, because of the hurt that he'd brought to my mum and the rest of the family. Because there's such an anger that was welling up inside me. And I remember going home on leave to go and see them. And I'd planned out what I was going to do to my dad, because what he'd done in hurting my mum at the time. Not physically. And when I got home, I saw my mum and I saw my dad, and I just burst into tears. And I gave them both a hug. And through a process of... they were both going to different churches at the time. It got to the stage where my mum would say, well, come and pray with us, Brian. And again, it's just nothing really. I wasn't saved at that time, but it's something I wanted to, you know, support my mum with at that time. So I went into a room and we were praying. And just for my dad to change his mind, to really confess his sin and just to bring that relationship back together again. And I remember this was going on for two or three days whilst I was on leave. And it was the problem of being is all down to lack of communication of how each other had felt over 26, 27, 28 years of marriage. And my mum, she wanted this minister to come round from she was going to a Baptist church at the time, and she wanted the minister to come round to come and speak to her and my dad. And he says, well, I'm not coming, he said, until your dad wants me to go, until her husband, my dad, wanted him to come round as well. Because he didn't want to show that he was taking sides on one side of the party. So it was that we started to pray again, of that my dad would have this minister to come round to speak to them. And eventually my dad says, yeah, you know, let's get this minister in. And the minister was fantastic. He sat them down and he just counseled them, really. And it was a time of reconciling of their marriage. And the minister says, just call me nights and days, no matter what time it is. If you've got a problem, you know, you can't converse with one another, just call me and I'll come round and we'll sort things out. And so by the time I went out to Germany, I'd see my mum and dad reconciled together. My dad started going to the same church as my mum. He confessed his sin. He'd repented of what he'd done. They'd renewed their marriage vows. And they're walking strong again for Jesus. So that really spoke to me. You know, thinking, wow, you know. So I was in this space over in Germany, RF Lahrbruck. And there was a place where you arrive. I don't know if anyone here has been in the forces. I know Shona has. Anybody else? But when you arrive at a new base, you're given lots of things to do. You do an arrival course, and they give you a magazine of what goes on the station. Social activities, churches, all sorts of things. And I was reading this booklet, and I thought, well, Lord, I said, you know, I knew he'd done something in my parents' lives. I thought, well, if you want me to go somewhere, I need to go to a church. And in the forces, you've got three churches or three denominations. You got the Roman Catholic Church. I thought, well, I don't need that. Thank you, Lord. And you got the Church of England. I thought, well, maybe. And then there's the Church of Scotland and Free Churches. So everything that wasn't Catholic and everything that wasn't Anglican fitted into this other bag. And I thought, well, yeah, I could fit into that one. And so it was. I was looking for the place where they met on a Sunday. And I was lying on my bed reading this magazine. And it said, block so-and-so, upstairs in an attic room. And I looked over, and this block was right outside my bedroom window. It was the next block along. I thought, okay, God's showing me something here. So I thought I'd go along to it. So I started going along to it, to this church, and I used to sit at the back row. Don't run out of me, Claire, will you? Nothing to do with you. But I used to sit on the back row, and as soon as the minister said, amen, I used to be out the door and down the what they call the Malcolm Club. It's a social club. And I'd be drinking my beers and having time, lunch with my mates. And this went on for about 3 or 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks probably. And then this couple came to me, and back then we were talking about 1986. And there's really a kind of charismatic movement of the Holy Spirit within the Air Force at the time. And this couple, Chris and Jane Casey, they said, oh, Brian, they said, how about coming to lunch with us next weekend? After church. I thought, oh, that's great. Thanks very much. So that week came along, and I was sitting at the back again. And the minister said, oh, amen. I was out the door like a flash and down to the Malcolm Club. And I didn't go to lunch with this couple. And they saw me during the week. And they said, Brian, they said, we're expecting you for lunch. I said, yeah. I said, sorry. I said, I went to the pub. I said, oh, that's okay. That's okay. And by this time, I've met a friend, a colleague. He was single at the time as well. And we used to hang out together. He was a Christian, and we used to hang out together. And he came round midweek, and he says, oh, fancy going for a drive? I said, yeah, great. So we jumped in his car, and we drove off. And I said, where are we going? He says, oh, Chris and Jane's invited us round for supper. So I couldn't exactly jump out this car, you know, as we were going down the autobahn to Chris and Jane's house. And we got to Chris and Jane's house, we're having this supper, and he challenged me outright. He says, are you a Christian? I goes, yeah, I'm a Christian. He goes, when did you ask Jesus into your life? I goes, what? He goes, when was the day you asked Jesus into your life and to forgive your sins? I goes, I don't think I can put a date on it, you know. And he says, have a look in John's Gospel. So he took me to John's Gospel in chapter 3. I don't know what I'm telling you. This is nothing what I've written down here this morning. And if you come back next week, I'll tell you the rest. So anyway, we went to John's Gospel, chapter 3. And I started to read it. And it started to... most of us may know the story. It's about Nicodemus, this great scholar, teacher. And how Jesus was talking about being born again. And I was reading this, and I thought, wow, I've never seen this before. And anyway, that night I went back to my room, and I laid on my bed. And when I'd left the UK to go to Germany, I was probably smoking something like, 30 cigarettes a day. I thought, great, going out to Germany, can get the duty-free cigars, that was fantastic, you know. And I was drinking quite a few beers after being a rugby player. So, yeah, that was my lifestyle, you know. And so I was on my bed that night, and I went back to John 3:16, and I was reading it. And I said, well, Lord, I says, I've seen you work in my mum and dad's life. I says, I've been to church. I says, I know that you're real, and I want you in my life tonight. On one condition. You know, on one condition. You know, what's this, giving God conditions, you know. And I says, you take away the habit of smoking from me. I says, just if I smell cigarette smoke, just make it detestable to my nostrils so I don't fancy it. Anyway, I asked Jesus into my life that night. And the following day, I was sort of walking around and people are seeing this big grin on my face. You know, what's up with you, Brian? I go, I don't know. Well, you look different. And I said, oh, really? And Mark had come round, my mate. He goes, Brian, you look amazing. He says, what happened? He says, well, I said, I prayed this prayer, you know, I asked Jesus into my life last night. On one condition, he took away this habit of smoking or desire to smoke out of me. He goes, fantastic, that's great news. So he's on the phone to Chris and Jane. Chris, Jane, Brian gave his life to the Lord last night. I go, what? He goes, yeah, that's what you've done, Brian. So he explained what I'd actually done, you know. And I was, all that week, I was going around this big grin on my face. I thought, wow, this is fantastic. And I never touched a cigarette from that day forward. I used to go in the clubs, and any time I used to smell smoke, it used to just really make me, horrible smell. So I praise God for that. And within that year of 1986 was when I met Shona. Shona's already a Christian. She came over. She was part of air traffic control. And she was really fit in those days. She's getting, not that she's like... I'll just rewind that one. Shona's really fit. Shall I just move on? During the times I met Shona in our early days, she used to play hockey for the Air Force. And so there was me. I was carrying this huge beer belly, really. I'd stopped playing rugby, so I was just busy doing the drinking, and my fitness was just absolutely zero. And but I saw Shona, and she started coming to the same church as me. She had been in the Brethren at that time, and we just making up friendships. You know, it's sort of like a singles group, if you like, all the non-married people in the church of that age group, and we used to just hang out together, go out for pizzas at midnight, that sort of thing. Which you can do in Germany. And so it's just... and then Shona started running around this airfield, you know, 5 miles. I go, what on earth is going on here? I said, oh, I'll come with you. You know. Ex-rugby player, you know, not a problem. So he starts running around this airfield, and the first bend we come to, I'm going, and Shona's, woo, like a jet going down the runway, you know, around this airfield. So and as we go, and eventually I'll get round, you know, Shona's showered, washed, ready to go out. And I'll just finish in, you know, after walking around this airfield perimeter. But I persevered. She's a great encouragement, Shona. And eventually it became like a drug to me. It was this running lark. And when I went out to Germany, I was around about 16 stone, 15 and a half stone, and about a 36-inch waist. And within, I think I probably met Shona around about the April, May time. I proposed to her by, when, the August? We won't go into that story. Shona's like, is that a proposal? We used to run the youth work at this church. And a thing that we had was, if we're going to go out with each other, we'll tell us, you know, we'll be honest with each other and tell each other everything that's going on. So I said to Shona, we were washing up the dishes this night after the youth had gone. I says, you know, he said we need to be honest with each other. She goes, yeah. I said, well, I really love you. I said, will you marry me? There's just this hush. Doing the dishes, you know, I mean, what? Romance. I was very romantic, actually. And anyway, Shona says, well, I'm going on a holiday. She says, I'm going to take some leave. I think she's away for 3 weeks or something. And she didn't answer me. She didn't say yes or no. She says, I'll let you know when I get back. I think, what is going on? So it's 3 weeks later, and I'm getting all these Christian, you know, Christian friends around, all these experienced ones. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's all right, Brian, just peace, peace. If it's God's will, it'll happen. Oh, yeah. So I'm waiting for Shona, and there's this aircraft. The aircrafts that used to come in and bring the troops back in used to land at Gütersloh, which is where we were based at the time. So I knew Shona was due in. What I didn't know was she had to go to work straight away that night. In fact, she should have been there that day, but a workplace had got a leave mixed up. And anyway, there's me, and I've got this bunch of carnations, and waiting to meet her off the aeroplane. A big grin on my face, you know. And she comes off the aircraft with the bags, and I give her these carnations. And she says, oh, I've got to go to work. I'm just stood there, like, you know, she's got to go to work. So she goes to work, and I popped up to the air traffic control tower because I'm on tender hooks, you know. What's she going to say? And she said to me, oh, we'll meet tomorrow. And this was coming up for my birthday. I think my birthday was, I just had my birthday or something. It was coming up to my birthday. And this was in the November. And so I said to her, we'll go out for a meal then. We'll go out for some breakfast. So I took her out for some breakfast in some great apartment stores in Germany, and they do breakfast, salmon, everything like that. Lovely German breakfast. And so we're sitting there, and I'm waiting, you see, over breakfast, and we're going through the courses, you know. And she's not said a word. And I said, well, what's, you know, have you decided? She said, decided what? I said, decided what? I says, you know, what were we talking about before you went on leave? She goes, what was that? I says, so I went down on one knee. I said, Shona, will you marry me? And she said yes. So prior to this time, you know, prior to that, I was growing in my faith. I got baptized out there. There's about 14 of us got baptized. And we got baptized in a local river in Germany. And it was a tremendous day. And again, it's just like it's coming out of the waters of baptism. There's a big grin on my face, you know. And by then, I started getting quite fit. And we were going to go home at Christmas time. My mum and my dad, they hadn't seen Shona. I hadn't seen Shona's folks. They lived up in Perth in Scotland. Well, King Eustace at the time in Scotland. So we're going to go to see my mum and dad and then go up to Shona's mum's and her family for the Christmas. So we came over. And by this time, I'd gone down from a 36-inch waist to 30 inches around my waist. I'd gone down from 16 stone to 11 stone, and I was like a whippet going around this airfield. Whoosh! I used to go running out, you know, it's just, I'd go running around this airfield, and I'd go off the camp and do another 3 or 4 miles, so I'd be, you know, 9 miles or something. It's just like every day I'd be just going out running. And anyway, I went home, and my parents say, they thought, wow, who's this guy, you know? And the neighbours, they were quite concerned. They thought I was on drugs. One thought I was anorexic. And I thought, this is the best I've felt for ages. I feel really great, you know. I haven't been this fit since I joined the Air Force, you know. So anyway, that's the start of our relationship. We got married the following year. And whilst we were out in Germany, those three-year periods, that was really when we started to eagerly seek, you know, earnestly seek the Lord. We need to earnestly seek Him. In everything that we do, in our decisions, in our daily decisions, in marriages, raising up families, working. And it's a whole body thing. As I said, it's a whole body, mind, spirit, mind, body. It says, in a dry land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld the power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. You see, it's talking about the whole body. It's a whole body encounter with God. And we need to earnestly get into His presence. We need to earnestly get into His sanctuary on a daily basis. We can't start playing lip service to something that we have that brings life and hope and deliverance to other people's lives. I'm not saying you can't have fun. But, you know, there's got to be a balance of, well, am I earnestly seeking God in what we're doing, and in what I'm doing, and what you're doing on a daily basis? That church isn't just about a Sunday. Worship isn't just about a Sunday, but it's a daily encounter with God. And so that's why we've got to be careful in the things that we say and in the things that we speak. He knows that it says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's what's coming into my heart. What is it that I'm actually speaking out? We can either bring life or death into people's situations. We can either encourage or tear down. And it's only because we're earnestly seeking God in His sanctuary. We're only earnestly seeking God every time we come together in our own quiet times, that we can go out with a hope and with this living water. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And it's that whole transformation that from the old to the new. The old is gone, the new has now come. It's no longer I'll drink 16 pints a night. But if you know what I mean, when we come to Jesus Christ, the old, we're no longer the old self. We're now a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's what drives us. And it is one foot in step of another. It's a journey, a corridor of faith, if you like, that God takes each of us on. But He's taking His church on it. And maybe He's saying to the church now that it's time to wake up. It's no longer hiding things from me. Who knows that we can't hide anything from God anyway? How Adam and Eve tried to hide in the garden. God knew where they were. So let's stop hiding things. Let's stop pretending to hide things from God when the light brings things out into the darkness. God sees our hearts. Let's just be honest with one another. Let's be honest with God. And as we're honest with God and our lifestyle is honest before God, and as He sees our hearts, He starts to bless us. And part of earnestly seeking Him, it says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, is, and without faith it is impossible to please God. But anyone who comes to Him must believe He exists, and that He rewards those who what? Earnestly seek Him. Who wants to be rewarded by God? Amen. And so it's not just, you know, it's not just that we earnestly seek Him for a particular reason. It says, seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But it's so easy to get ensnared in the things of the world, the conversations that we might get into with people that aren't yet Christians, that before we know it, we're starting to talk things that bring death rather than life. We start tearing down rather than building up. So let's be a church that goes out there. Wherever you're from this morning, go out we're one church. We sing that over Scarborough all the time. Many congregations, but we're one church. And that's the church of Jesus Christ. And that's what He wants. He wants to bless us because we're earnestly seeking Him. And the blessings that come, I'll let you go away and start reading about the blessings for yourselves. Because as we earnestly seek Him, as we seek His righteousness and His kingdom, as we seek his face and his plans and his purposes in our own individual lives, but corporately as a church, then we'll start seeing the fruit and the blessings from God in our own lives. Healings and salvations in families. Or I believe there's a... Just Holy Spirit just saying to me, how many here this morning, raise your hands if you've got family that aren't yet saved. Wow. Yeah. And so it's saying as we earnestly seek God and his righteousness and his kingdom and his face, we'll start seeing our families come into heaven. As we intercede for them, as we stand in the gap for our families. Yes, there's more than our families that need saving, but hey, come on. If we can't see our families getting saved and set free, what are we going to see out there? You know, yes, it's great to see people being saved. It's a whole region that we live in is our ministry field. The place that you work at, the place that you live in, your street. And it's so as we then come into that closet place, as we come into that place with God, and if we start getting a relationship with him on a daily basis, as we earnestly seek him, he's going to reward us mightily. Not just in heaven. I'm talking about, can't go into rewards at the moment, but God speaks of earthly rewards as well as heavenly rewards. And so maybe it's today that we need to decide, well, yeah, okay. Maybe I've slipped off a little bit to the right or to the left. But who knows, we've got a God and a Father whose arms are always around us, that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he says, come back, my child. Come back up here. Come on, let's get back where we should be. Let's be walking my way instead of your way. I won't get into song. But yeah, let's do it his way and not our way. Let's earnestly seek him and not the desires of our hearts that maybe aren't his desires for our hearts. What's God saying to you this morning? What's his plan and his purpose for your lives? As we earnestly seek him, he will reward us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning that each of us has a story to tell. We thank you this morning, Father God, that where you brought us out from a place of darkness into a place of light, we thank you for a light that shines, that it may shine before men, that we do not hide that lamp under a bushel or under the bed. But Father, let us put our light upon the lampstand, that others might be drawn to it, Father God. Let your church be the light of a nation, Lord, where there's so many religions and red tape that's going on in our country. But Father, we thank you that we can stand in a gap for our leaders of this country. We can stand in the gap, Father, for our families and our friends who aren't yet saved, that we see them come into a place of salvation. We thank you, Father, as we earnestly seek you, even in our quiet times and in our own place, our own closet area, Father God. We come and seek you earnestly, that we want to do your will and not my will, not our will, but your will be done. Father, we thank you as we go through trials and testings, Lord, that it's a time of sharpening us and cutting away some dead wood, that our light shines even more brightly, Father God, upon a hill that people are drawn to. A light that brings hope and salvation, a light that brings healing and prosperity, a light that leads them to a Father who wants to bless each and every one. So Father, we thank you this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and encourage us and empower us to earnestly seek you, Father God. Every minute of every day, Lord, that you're holding our hand, that you're upholding us, that you're keeping us strong, that you're keeping us safe. But we still have a decision to make. We still have to make a choose which way to go. But Father, let us choose your way. Let us choose your path. Let us choose your dreams and your visions. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you come this morning and you come for healing this morning, or if you just want someone to stand in prayer with you for whatever reason, then don't go away without coming forward and receiving that. We'd like to bless you. If you don't want to partake in that, then there's a great coffee shop there. Just have time to relax and enjoy and have a great week, earnestly seeking a great Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.